Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's second quarter 2020 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded August 27th, 2020. With us on the line today is Mr. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respected company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the company's website, www.bankleumi.co.il, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call of Bank Leumi's financial statements for the first half and second quarter, which ended on June 30th, 2020. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the development, strategy, and major takeaways from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleague, Dr. Gil Bufman, Chief Economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the Bank website as well. I would now like to turn the call over to Omer.
Thank you, Daphna, and good day all. I would like to thank you for joining us to review Leumi's first half and the second quarter 2020 results. We are facing a very challenging period. It's clear that there is a slowdown in the economy, but no one actually knows how long it will continue and how severely the economy will be affected. Health and its implications remain a key factor currently slowing economic growth worldwide. Businesses, customers, and our employees are in the process of adjusting to a new environment, a new normal. The unknown is vast, and this has had a major impact on our results, mainly through the substantial increase in our credit provision. This increase is focused on the general provision so that we will be prepared to cope with possible negative development in our customers' financial situation in the following quarters. Even with the significant negative effects of COVID-19 on our results, we continue to preserve strong liquidity and equity ratios. In fact, we have presented the highest equity ratios in the Israeli banking sector. Before moving on to the analysis of the results, I would like to provide an update on the coronavirus pandemic in Israel, the stabilizers introduced by the government and the Bank of Israel, and select macro-related data. I will start with slide number three. Following the reopening of the market in late April, the number of new COVID-19 cases started to increase as the second wave began in mid-June. Currently, the number of active cases is down at about 21,000 from a peak of over 35,000 in late July. In July, the broad unemployment rate reached 12%. This includes employees temporarily absent from their places of work due to the coronavirus crisis, and those dismissed since March who do not currently participate in the workforce. An international comparison of the rate of decline in GDP in the second quarter of 2020 compared to the final quarter of 2019 shows that Israel's GDP fell by a rate similar to the Germany and the U.S. The rate of decline in the GDP of Spain and U.K., however, were more than double than of the decline in Israel. Today, the Bank of Israel has taken various steps, which include the April reduction of the interest rate from 25 basis points to 10 basis points, QE in the form of government bond purchases of up to 50 billion shekels. Ripple lines created in shekels for non-bank financial companies, receiving both government bonds and corporate bonds. FX float lines for Israeli banks. The purchase of corporate bonds starting in July with an initial framework for 15 billion shekels. This process has been implemented in order to pave the way for larger sums to be processed through the mechanism in the event that condition required. In early July, the Bank of Israel also extended the plan under which it provides the banking system with fixed rate loans at 0.1% interest rate for a term of 3 years. The goal is to increase the supply of bank credit to small and micro businesses. Based on the most recent forecast by the Bank of Israel for 2020 on August 24, the GDP is expected to be in the range of -4.5% to -7%, depending on the severity of restrictions on activity. The Bank of Israel sees a rebound in growth in 2021 to between 3% and 6%. Compared to the current bond unemployment rate of 12.3%, the Bank of Israel sees a decline to 13.6% as part of its pessimistic scenario, and to 11.6% in Q4 2020 as part of its optimistic scenario. Within this framework, the unemployment rate is expected to continue to fall in 2021. The Bank of Israel's inflation rate forecast is -1% to 1.1% in 2020 and positive 0.4% to 0.9% in 2021. Interest rate is expected to remain at 10 basis points. Now, with your permission, I will turn back to the financial results. And moving on to the next slide. As you can see from this slide, we don't see yet the effect of COVID-19 on the travel debt and the NPL. This is related to the fact that we are only half a year into the crisis, where numerous measures and stimulus plans are still being put in place by the government and the Bank of Israel. This includes the deferral in payment, which you can see on the right side of the slide. Looking at these deferrals, the total postponement of debt at the end of June 2020 amounted to 1.7 billion shekels. This was only 0.6% of our total credit portfolio. Almost 25% of the postponements are related to housing loans to private individuals. The LTV average ratio for housing loans, which is based on the date of the approval, is only 45%. Moreover, 64% of the mortgage customers who asked for a postponement in their payment went back to paying as usual. Currently, there is a freeze in payment of only 10% of the total mortgages loan portfolio. Moving on to slide 5. Our credit loss expenses for the first half of the year amounted to 1.7 billion shekels. Around half of it was recorded in the first quarter and half of it in the second quarter. These expenses reflected a rate of 1.2% of the credit portfolio. 84% of the total expense for the first half of the year is related to the collective provision. As I mentioned in the previous slide, we still don't see a significant effect of COVID-19 on our travel debt or on our NPL. The increase in our collective provision was put in place mostly in order to deal with the negative development that we might see in the following quarters, which will lead to an increase in our travel debt and the instant payment. There is a very wide range of possible outcomes for the economy in the following quarters. Therefore, we created additional scenarios along with the recorded expenses for credit losses. These scenarios vary with regard to the unemployment rate, the GDP pace of growth, the different assumptions as to our customers' financial situation in different sectors, etc. According to the optimistic scenario, our total credit loss expenses will decrease by 520 million shekels. In the pessimistic scenario, our total credit loss expenses will increase by 350 million shekels. This range would be greater, of course, if we made the assumption more extreme. However, we believe that these scenarios offer a reasonable range based on the knowledge that we have at this point. The significant increase in credit loss expenses is a key factor for the relatively low ROE in the first half of the year and the second quarter. And continuing on to slide 6, which shows the breakdown of income and expenses for the first half of the year. Net interest income decreased by 6.5% compared to last year. This decrease is mainly attributed to the decrease in the NIM, which was partially offset by the increase of the average credit portfolio of 4.9%. The NIM reached 1.93%, a decrease of 30 basis points compared to the first half of 2019. This was mainly the result of the difference in the CPI between the periods. The CPI for the first half of 2020 was minus 0.7%, while the CPI for the corresponding period was a positive 1.2%, and to the decrease in the Fed and the Bank of Israel interest rate. I would also like to draw your attention to the fact that if you neutralize the effect of the difference in the CPI between the periods, there is even a slight increase in the net income since we succeeded in balancing the reduction in the interest rate, mainly by increasing the average credit portfolio. The difference in the non-interest in finance line item is mainly related to the losses in the capital market in the first quarter of the year, and to derivatives and foreign exchange, mainly as a result of the decrease in the non-risk interest rate in the first quarter. I will elaborate on fees, commission, and expenses later in the presentation. And moving to slide 7, which shows the breakdown of income and expenses on a quarterly basis. The trends here are similar to those I just described in the previous slide. The net interest income decreased from 2.5 billion shekels in Q2 last year to 2.1 billion in Q2 2020. This decrease is mainly attributed to the decrease in the NIM, which was partially offset by the increase in the average credit portfolio of 6.4%. The NIM reached 1.81%, a decrease of 57 basis points compared to the first half of, to the second quarter of 2019. This was mainly the result of the difference in the CPI between the periods. The CPI for Q2 2020 was minus 0.2%, while the CPI for the post-20 period was a positive 1.5%, and the decrease in the Fed and the Bank of Israel interest rate. Here again, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that by setting aside the effect of the change in the CPI, we have been able to offset the effect of the decrease in the interest rate on our income mainly by the increase in the average credit portfolio. The non-interest finance income reached 690 million shekels, much higher than Q2 last year. This income offset the losses recorded in the first quarter of 2020. Having said that, the total non-interest income finance for the first half of the year is still around zero. I would also like to mention another point in this context. While market volatility was more moderate in Q2 and capital markets recovered, uncertainty still exists and volatility may continue. I will elaborate on fees, commission, and expenses shortly. Turning to slide 8. Business commissions increased in the first half of the year by 2.6% compared to last year and reached 1.7 billion shekels. This increase was driven by an increase in securities transactions and exchange differentials. This was the result of extensive forex activity, mainly in the first quarter of the year. The increase was offset by a decrease in account management fees and financing transactions due to, among other things, a decrease in activity as a result of COVID-19. Business commissions in Q2 2020 were 5% lower compared to Q2 last year. Apart from the fact that business commissions in Q2 last year were relatively higher compared to the other quarter last year, the outbreak of the virus decreased activity in the second quarter in various areas. Moving on to slide 9. Operating and other expenses in the first half of 2020 decreased by 10.9% compared to last year to 3.5 billion shekels. The decrease is mainly attributed to salaries and related expenses, which were down by 415 million shekels, mainly due to the lower provisions for bonuses. In Q2 2020, the decrease is even higher compared to Q2 last year, a 14.4% decrease. Salaries and related expenses decreased by 90% compared to Q2 last year. Maintenance, depreciation, and other expenses decreased by 8%. The cost-income ratio for the first half of the year reached 57.7%, and for Q2 2020, it reached 46.3%. The low cost-income ratio for Q2 is not indicative, of course, since the non-interest finance income in Q2 was relatively high, but it offset a few losses in the capital market, and since the expenses were relatively low due to the lower provision for bonuses. Having said that, I would like to mention that the crisis caused a significant acceleration in digital activity alone, with a drop of 45% in customer visits to the bank branches in the first half of the year. I'm turning now to the next slide. As in previous quarters, we have continued to focus our growth in middle market, mortgages, and corporate. In middle market, we increased our credit portfolio by 7.4% compared to last June, in mortgages by 5%, and corporate by 6.4%. At the same time, we have continued to be very cautious in the unsecured retail and with small businesses, which are considered to be riskier segments. I would also like to add that state-backed loans granted in the first half of the year totaled 3.7 billion shekels, out of it to small businesses and out of it to corporate and commercial customers. The total state-backed loans granted by Leumi year to date was approximately 4.5 billion shekels. Continuing on to the next slide. As of June 30, 2020, the deposits by the public were 417 billion shekels, and 11.5% increase since last June. The significant increase was across the board. It reflects, among other things, the March quarter transfer of funds from the capital market to deposits. As such, the loan-to-deposit ratio continues to be relatively conservative and reach a level of 68%. I am proceeding now to slide 12. As a reminder, due to the coronavirus, the bank Bilbao decided at the end of March 2020 to review the minimum regulatory capital adequacy requirement until September 2022. In accordance with this instruction, the minimum capital requirements from the bank are 9.25% for CET1 and 12.75% for the total capital ratio. The bank Bilbao also stated that given the situation, they are expecting banks to reconsider the dividend distribution and the continued implementation of buyback plans at least until the end of September 2020. At this stage, and in line with the Leumi Board of Directors decision from April, dividend distribution and implementation of the buyback plan are on hold. And turning now to slide 13. In slide 13, we illustrate our solid capital ratio, CET1 and TCR, and our leverage and liquidity ratios. In all of these, we present increased ratios compared to Q1. Furthermore, they are all much above the minimum requirement. With regard to the equity ratio, as I mentioned, they are the highest within the entire banking sector in Europe. I'm moving on to my final remarks. Attempting to forecast the path of the Israeli economy right now is very challenging. No one knows how deep the crisis will be. In the unprecedented environment, forecasting the right scenario and adopting the appropriate credit provision is complicated, to say at least. The range is very wide. We have to be patient and update our forecast on a quarter-to-quarter basis as development unfolds. Having said that, we will continue to be conservative and focus our growth in middle market, mortgages, and corporate. We will go on adapting the operation model to the new circumstances. We will continue to adjust our expenses as the crisis warrants, and we will continue to accelerate usage of the digital channels. I would like to thank you again for joining us today and to open the line for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Reimer on for Tavi. Thank you for taking my questions. Just regarding loan deferrals, the situation seems to have improved since the end of the second quarter with decrease in number of deferrals, et cetera. Looking ahead, are you still concerned by certain industries, or do you feel the worst is potentially behind us and that we could see recoveries down the road?
Hi. And good afternoon, and thank you for your question. I don't think the worst is behind us, because as I mentioned in the presentation, there are still numerals of stimulus package with regard to unsecured retail unemployment payment till June 2021, with regard to self-employment grant that will continue to at least at the next year, with intervention of the Bank of Israel in the bond market. So this is the reason why, even though we don't see the effect of COVID-19 in our NPL or in our travel debt, we increased significantly the collective provision in order to cope with negative development that still might happen in the future. Classification of non-travel debt to travel debt and increase in delinquent payments. Currently, everybody is speaking about the airline sector, about which even this sector starts to recover, about the hospitality sector. But the longer the crisis lasts, the greater the effect will be on second and third circle. Mm-hmm. That now keep their head above the water, but their ability to keep their head above the water depends on the period in which the crisis will be and the depth of the crisis. So mm-hmm. It's still too early, I believe, to say that the worst is behind us. We do see positive elements in different issues. For example, you mentioned the deferral payment, and I mentioned in the presentation that, for example, with regard to mortgages, 64% of our customers who decide to postpone their payment and went back to pay as usual. So we do see light along the path, but we should be patient with it.
Okay, understood. And just on the digital channels, with the increase in the digital channel usage, can we expect maybe an acceleration of branch closures on one side and more employees working from home on the other side, which might help reduce operating costs?
Well, as I mentioned in the presentation, we do see, for example, in the banking division, a decrease of 45% of customer visits in our branches, and we also how to say that we start to work along the new normal in which material percentage of our employees working for a more formal mode. Those two elements have a positive potential on our expenses, but the translation of them to decrease in expenses is not immediately, it takes time. For example, if I refer to the work from remote, it's not that if people work from remote, we can immediately cut our office space. It takes time. But based on the fact that the bank for me is going to transfer its headquarters to Lodz in 2 years from now, the crisis gives us a chance to plan our new headquarters under the new assumptions. So yes, it has a positive impact on the expenses, but we should be patient because it takes time.
I see. Okay. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
The next question is from Borja Ramirez from Citi. Please go ahead. Borja, could you speak? We can't hear you.
Oh, my apologies. I was on mute. Can you hear me well now?
You sound perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for your time and also for your presentation. I have two questions. Firstly, into net interest income. Your net interest income was solid, taking into account the current situation. Could you provide some color into the net interest margin trends for the second half? And also, has competition decreased at the system level so far? And then my second question is regarding cost of risk. Could you please provide the underlying assumption for GDP and unemployment for your Q2 cost of risk, and also could you please provide some sensitivity of cost of risk to, for example, a 1% decrease in GDP or a 1% increase in unemployment rate? Thank you.
So thank you for your question. First, with regard to the NIM, there is a negative pressure on the NIM based on the drop in the Fed and the bank reserve interest rate, based on the fact that because of the situation, we prefer, for example, the state bank loans that I mentioned, in which the margin is lower, but the risk is lower as well because it has a government guarantee. And also the mix of that, we focus our growth in mortgages, middle market, and corporate, in which the margin are lower, but the risk is low as well. So speaking only about the NIM, not about the total result, there is a negative pressure on the NIM. But as you mentioned, till now we've been able to balance this negative pressure by the increase on the average credit portfolio. So if we put aside the effect of the CPI, you will find that the net income are more or less at the same level. With regard to competition, there is competition all the time. It's not something new. And I don't think that this competition has a significant effect on the margin. It's more that each bank adapts its policy, its underwriting policy, and decided where to take risk and where not. With relate to the cost of risk, so I mentioned in the presentation the forecast of the Bank of Israel, and I mentioned that we built a optimistic scenario, and as you can see, the range is very wide, and we, on this range, which each number can win, We prefer to be at this stage more conservative because the unknown is very wide. The unemployment rate behind the number are around, I would say, 7% average unemployment rate, GDP around 8% minus in 2020, but there are a scope of parameters around this scenario, because what we've done there, we took every class of customers in each class of sector, and we and based on the risk of each class of customers, we put assumption what will be the percentage that those customers will be problematic customers. What is the percentage that we will lose 20%, 30% of the, or 50% of the data, etc. So there are really tens of parameters in each scenario, but the range is between the reasonable range. You can put, you know, extreme scenario and make it wider, but the reasonable range is between plus 250 million shekels. Increasing the provision if you want to be more conservative, or decrease of more than a half billion shekels if you want to be more optimistic. If you want to look at the credit portfolio and try to make some sensitive about the effect of the cost of risk, so we have around 300 billion shekel credit portfolio. So each 1% of that is around 3 billion shekel. So each 0.1% is 300 billion shekel. So what I'm trying to say is just that each 10 basis points in the cost in the credit loss expenses is equal roughly to I would say 0.5-0.6% in terms of our risk. This is roughly the number. Does it answer your question?
Yes, sorry. Yes, the line was cut. Yes, that is understood. Thank you very much for your comment.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The next question is from Charmsol Yoon of Lazard Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Omar. Thank you for taking my questions. Just two questions, please. So number one, you reduced salary expenses by more than 200 million year-on-year. How much of this will be reversed out once you pay bonuses? That's my first question. Just want to model how much is sustainable cost reduction and how much it will be reversed out. Secondly, on the cost of risk side, will you have another big provision buildup in the second half if the macroeconomy ends in line with your GDP and unemployment assumptions shown in page number 3? So if economy actually moves in line with these estimates, Bank of Israel estimates, or maybe your estimates are probably more conservative. If the economy ends like that, I assume you will not have additional provisions, but maybe I can be wrong. Number three, just clarity. Can you repeat the sensitivity you just alluded to, please?
Okay. Okay. With regard to the salary expenses, so if you look half year to half year, The major decrease is related to the bonus provision. And if you look at the second quarter, so there is also a decrease of 8% related to the other expenses, which I think are built as a result of the negative effect of the COVID on our results. And you will lose it when we see that the income increase again. So the downside is that if you look quarter to quarter, the increase is also in the other expenses, and we have the ability to manage it in order to match it to the income. The more the income will come, we will lose the belt and increase the expenses, and the other way around. So this is the answer which relates to your first question. We relate to the assumption that we've taken. So I assume that if the unemployment rate and the GDP will be along with the assumption that we've taken, so there will be no need to build more such material provision. We already have almost 1.5 billion shekels collective provision in order to cope with future development, because a number of countries are okay. So if it will be like that, I don't see a material need to build it further. But as I mentioned, the model is not only based on GDP and unemployment. It is based on different assumptions in different sectors. So we might be right with our assumption for the unemployment rate and with the average assumption on the unemployment rate and the GDP rate of growth, but it depends on the mix of our credit portfolio. And it depends where we will be where there will be more worse situation, which sectors will be hit more, and this is also can affect the provision, because when you speak about GDP, you speak about average GDP. But overall, I think we have a very strong provision. We built it as you mentioned, even in more conservative way than the assumption, that the update assumption of the Bank of Israel, and I believe that if the situation will be as we predicted, so there will be no material need for further increase that first. With regard to the sensitive, what I try to say is that we have a credit portfolio of 300 billion shekels. So every So you can calculate the number. If 1% increase in the credit loss expenses, well, the credit loss expenses are the credit loss expenses divided the ratio, the credit loss expenses divided by the total portfolio. So if we have 300 billion shekels credit portfolio, so you can calculate any number you want and divide it by the total equity, which is 36 billion shekels, and you will find that roughly it will be that every I would say 1% increase is about 0.5% effect on the ROE.
I'm sure it's just me, but line's very bad. And so Daphna, I don't want to bother other people, but Daphna, can you just give me a call after this just to clarify if I understood it correctly, please?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press *1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Lumi's second quarter 2020 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.